Blog Talk Radio.
And we're back. I just put more coins in the meter. And now we have another 30 minutes to talk. Isn't that nice? You're welcome. So as I was saying, we have this exhausted narrative of fighting terrorism and that we're just trying to live our lives, and it's a lie. You know it's a lie. We all know it's a lie. We think that our way of life is so benign and that we've done nothing to deserve this. When everything, as Daniel Quinn, the author, shows, is a culture of maximum harm. And so we respond to this to say, because we're terrified. That's not a great thing, you know, to be afraid to go into your mall, to go to a movie, to go to the places where we hold so sacred and be under threat of violence when you're already under total violence. It's the violence that you don't see is 10 times more deadly than the violence that we do. We cry for every life lost, of course. It's a horror. People shouldn't be murdered. Whether it's the death squads murdering them or people murdering people as if they're any different. We're all collaborators here. But terrorism is a tactic. And now everybody's, oh my God, is violence a disease? As I already did a podcast on that. Violence is not a disease. Civilization is a disease. This way of life is a disease. And we can't see that. And as long as we can't see that, we're going to be caught in this endless nonsense. We are committing ecocide right now, and that's the only issue that is not talked about at all. We talk about terrorism and domestic, you know, violence and violence and violence that we ourselves have created. We don't look at the lives that are decimated. What brought these people here? We just got to spin a psychological narrative. They're crazy. That's just easy. And then control the guns. We need a threat so we can use our military. I was looking at the mass media, and it says we're running out of bombs to bomb ISIS. Oh boy! All I heard was the clicking, cha-ching, 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 of all those weapons companies. Dang right, you're running out of bombs. And who's getting paid? Yeah, they're getting paid to keep this mass murder going. Poor Syria. Nobody gives a fuck about Syria. Nobody cares about the Syrian children being murdered. It's a proxy war. NATO, or really the United States versus Russia. All we need is China in there. Come on, China, get on board here. Let's go bomb some Syrians. We don't like them anyway. They're like Arabic or something. The loss of life is unacceptable. We cry about our own. We cry about Paris. Ah! There's 10 million people displaced on this planet right now. 10 million. 36,000 of which them are slaves. A billion living off of $2 a day. We kill 200 species a day. And we cry about the lives of 14, as we should. We should. Every life murdered is an atrocity. It's not ugly what happened in San Bernardino, California. It's another atrocity on another atrocity. It's a response to an atrocity, which is civilization. It's a response to trauma. It's a response to being isolated. It's a response to viciousness with more viciousness. Like I said, Shakespeare said it best, wrong me, will I not revenge? This whole pacifism and self-help nonsense that I can just, you know, remove my own violence and become peaceful and forgiving. Yeah, that's a very privileged way of looking at things, and I totally understand it because that's what I was taught my whole life. Turn the other cheek, Jesus said. I'm not sure he meant it in the way we think, but, you know, keeps us nice and docile, and that's what we're after. That's the goal. Don't you want to be happy? Let me read to you briefly. From Zygmunt Bauman's Wasted Lives. It just struck me. I just kind of was reading it today, and I was just like, hey, I'll read it. It's kind of about what we're talking about. I think we see just a despondency in our culture. We want to be free, but we can't. And this is a quote for it. He quotes Franz Kafka. And I think this is kind of how we're chopped up. But here, you interpret as you wish. And I quote, "There was a time, of course, when the five of us did not know one another. We still don't know one another. But what is possible and can be tolerated by the five of us is not possible and cannot be tolerated with the sixth one. In any case, we are five, and we don't want to be six." Long explanations would almost amount to an accepting him in our circle. So we prefer not to explain and not to accept him. End quote, Franz Kafka, Fellowship. And I'll read from you from the book. According to a recent report by Joseph Rowntree Foundation, and it quotes, "The number of young people battling depression has doubled in 12 years. As hundreds of thousands find themselves excluded from the rising levels of education or prosperity. When those born in 1958 completed a questionnaire on their mental health in 1981, 7% had a tendency to non-clinical depression. The equivalent figure for the 1970 cohort interviewed in 1996 was 14%. Analysis suggested that the rise was linked to the younger group having grown up with the more experience of unemployment. Those with a degree were third less likely to be depressed," end quote. Depression is a most unpleasant, harrowing, and incapacitating mental condition. But as this and other numerous reports suggest, it is not only a symptom of the malaise that haunts the new generation born into the brave new liquid modern world, liquid modernity. Whereas it did not seem to affect, at least to the same extent, the immediate predecessors. More experience of unemployment, he quotes, however traumatic and painful as undoubtedly is, does not seem to be the sole cause of the malaise. Of course not. The so-called Generation X of young men and women born in the 1970s in Britain and other developed countries knows ailments of older generations were unaware, not necessarily more ailments or ailments that are more and more accurate or acute, distressing or mortifying, but those that are distinctly different, novel, and one could say specifically liquid modern malaises and afflictions. Ooh, that's good. We're seeing these afflictions, and I think we're seeing that response, you know, of this malaise that we try to pinpoint as discontent, malcontents. What do you want, people? You got the internet. But that's not feeding us. The United States uses 4% of the world's psychopharmacology, specifically one chemical. We medicate ourselves. I was talking to people talking about how there's two things we do other than impose and possess our ways. We sublimate and we anesthetize ourselves. Terrorism is just another sublimation, but it's an activist way. They're acting out. They're not trying to affect the change that you want. They're trying to bring the government to do exactly what they want it to do, which is to overreact. And when they do that, they play right into their hands. 9/11, if there was such a thing as Al-Qaeda, did exactly what I think the government did it so they could then facilitate the military actions that they took. The greater controls, the Patriot Act, perfect, total control. The culture of maximum harm in full force. The full Sanchez, for those who are Eagles fans. That was directly designed. This is directly designed, all by design. The mass media spins those narratives by design. Every thought in your head is by design. For you to think you're an individual, to be depressed, to be happy, to be sad, all by design. And you can see it plain as day. I see mine. Do you see yours? Always a wonderful question. But that's how you see. You do that work. You look into it. You see that the language itself is what kills us. But when, you know, we always want those solutions, the easy fixes. How do I fix this? How do I fix this so I can, so the business as usual can continue unabated. Unabated. We make a big deal out of people wearing women's clothes or women wearing men's clothes and changing their genitals and using chemicals to make their bodies different. And we get caught up in these false dramas. Who cares? Because it's about keeping us distracted, keeping us reacted in this culture of kitsch and lies. We all know it. But we play along because we need that. We need to be anesthetized as anyone else does. Television, video games, computers, books. Consciousness, human consciousness is the source of much of this. But civilization keeps us and conditions us to accept our conditioning, to accept our separateness in such a way that it literally, according to some, like Lou Marinoff, it cuts off the pathway for us to see any other way. It totally cuts us off from the dimensions that bind us, from connection, from feeling with our instincts, not our emotions or our reason, because instinct has always been our guide. The gatherer hunters, the nomads, flowed with nature. Excuse me. Flowed with nature, and we have no connection to nature, so we treat it like dirt. Ha! No pun intended, right? You know, we treat it like it doesn't matter. We treat people like they don't matter. We treat them objects to do with as we please. As Hannah Arendt so beautifully pointed out, how the Nazis weren't monsters. They just were able to create a culture where populations of people, whether they were Jewish or mentally retarded or gay, were considered superfluous. Superfluous, another word for they don't matter. They are outcast. They are bad. To what we do to them, it's like ants. Ants don't matter. Right? They're pests. Oh, because we live in a garden. And when you see the world as a garden and you get pests or you get weeds, what do you do with them? You eradicate them. You eradicate them. And civilization is always been about eradication. Wholesale eradication of that which stands in its way. Let me read to you one more time, well, actually two more times. This is from a book I got. It's called Why Hope? The Stand Against Civilization. It's by John Zerzan, and with an introduction by Langor, a wonderful author. I'm going to buy his other book, which is called Hunting Seasons. But this introduction, the whole book is really good so far. I've enjoyed it. But I really was quite compelled by this. Let me find that spot. Bear with me. How's your day? I hope it's really good. Saturday. Saturday is always a good day for us slaves out here. For those of us who don't have to work, if you do, I'm really sorry. Okay, here we are. Okay. So, you know, the Langor is talking about John Zerzan's writing. And so it really says, in fact, when civilized Europeans imposed themselves everywhere on Earth, they created a terminal crisis for themselves by their very contact with indigenous societies. Suddenly, those with eyes to see and ears to hear could recognize, ooh, good word, that patriarchy, property, and authority, and certainly slavery, were neither necessary nor desirable, let alone determined by human nature. early New England colonists, Cotton Mather, worried that the proximity of the gatherers and hunters would prove fatally alluring to many of the new colonies. Given the evident ease and richness of their life compared to the constant toil required of farmers, let alone servants. The crisis continues. The allure, for our better or worse, has only deepened with the development of recent decades, all of which establish unmistakably that the true nature of civilization is regress, not progress. He says, as a character says in Christopher Isherwood's Frankenstein, the true story, the process is reversing itself. He says, so what else is new? This is clearly recognized in the so-called East by the Taoist, who saw domestication as abasement. And I think that's what, we see that civilization is about conquest and making things unrecognizable. And we don't recognize that we are the facilitators of our own depression, repression, oppression, viciousness, and violence. He says, from now on, the great man, the leader, according to his position, will be without authority because he will have understood the diabolical principle of the leveling process. He will be unrecognizable. He will keep his distinction hidden like plainclothes policemen. And his support will only be negative, i.e. repelling people, whereas the infinite indifference of abstraction judges every individual and examines him in his isolation. The creation of the individual, this idea of individual, that somehow we are abstracted, asocial individual, Eric Hobsbawm called it, the great source of genocide itself. How do you solve problems? First, you got to make up a problem. The problem is civilization. It's not ISIS. It's not the American government. It's not the Russian government. It's civilization itself. They are all part of the corporatocracy. They are the corporatocracy. And we're told that terrorism is some disease. It's really about power. And power is just power, force. We all have power. I have power. You have power. Power mongering. How we use our power. How I can use my power to go run up and down the street. But why is there a street? Well, that's because it's there. We put it there. The civilized mind is the mind, and it doesn't ask why it's even an option. People say, do you like pornography? I'm like, yeah, no, I'm against pornography. But it's part of our lives because my question would be is why is it even an option? Sure, I like sex and stuff, but why is exploitation part of every aspect of our lives? Why do we have to sublimate? People are like, have you been to Vegas? No, I have not. What? Don't you like Disneyland? It's not about what I like or what you like. So I go to Disneyland or don't go to Disneyland. So I watch TV or don't. It doesn't make any difference. So I'm supporting civilization even if I resist it. That's how good they got us. But you got to see it is the point. Once you see it, then you can find your chinks in the armor. You can fight the terrorism of civilization because that's the true terrorist. And I will read from you from Jeriah Bowser's Elements of Resistance. It's from the chapter called Business as Usual, and it is wonderful. Everybody should read it because it is profoundly excellent. I could just read you the whole chapter, but I'm not gonna. You're welcome. So, yeah. But I will read some of this. Read it. It's good. Read it. So bear with me. So we must, this is a quote. It must be understood that any action taken to stop this insane cycle of violence, no matter how violent, could not possibly be more violent than the daily level of violence that is happening every single day of every single week of every single month, of every single year, that we don't stop it. No direct action, no bomb, no armed struggle, no method of revolution could ever possibly hope to meet or exceed the level of systematic violence that is being executed and continued existence by these very bad ideas. He talks about civilization, basically. Even all-out nuclear war, as catastrophic and violent as it would be, would ultimately mean the cessation of this oppressive system and thus ending the ending of this culture, which necessitates violence at every turn to maintain its existence, and would ultimately be less violent than the continuation of business as usual. For many of my readers, this summation of business as usual must come as a shock and gross exaggeration as they look outside their window and see no such violence in their world. If this describes you, then I would challenge you to look beyond the facade of normalcy and try to see and understand the daily, often invisible and subtle ways that oppressive violence is happening around you. As inheritors of the fruits of thousands of years of colonization, theft, and slavery, it is often painful and difficult to see the knowledge and acknowledge the violence that is hidden away in other regions of the world, other neighborhoods, other families, other people during different time periods. But I assure you, the violence has and will continue to take place. Misunderstanding should not be seen as an immediate call to arms, but as a simple reality check that the maximum level of oppressive violence that the world has ever seen is happening every day due to the continuation of the business as usual. The most violent act we can possibly do is sit there and do nothing. We are all complicit. Pacifism cannot truly exist in today's globalization, postmodern world. Even the simple act of purchasing a sandwich, a pair of jeans, or a tank of gas is participating in war, theft, rape, genocide, ecocide, ethnocide, and colonization. There are no bystanders or observers in this cosmic struggle. You're either complicitly participating in our collective demise or you're actively resisting. Whether you like it or not, whether you're aware of it or not, whether you're willing to admit it or not, every action you take is either working towards oppression or liberation. As Howard Zinn said, you can't be neutral on a moving train. Thank you, Mr. Bowser. I love you. Ciao. Derek Jensen, Keith Farnish, Bowser, Zygmunt Bauman, John Zerzan, Carolyn Baker, I love you. The guy that wrote Sex at Dawn with his partner, love you. Eric Frome, love you. John Trudell, I love you. Because these are the people who want to liberate our minds. Me, Jeff, I love you. And you should love me too. Once we see our trauma, once we can see the trauma, we can smash it. And it's not just about, oh, I'm not going to buy a pair of jeans. That's not it. We know it takes more than just how you spend your dollars, which we know the economy is a giant Ponzi scheme. It's first let that sink in. Let that sink in. Do some work. Time's running out, but you got to do some work. Read that Deep Green Resistance. Do some work. Don't just think about what can I do. First see really that you're a slave and that you can't escape it. And then talk about that. When one person stands up, two people might, three people might. You're like, yeah, let's go grab stuff and blow stuff. Yeah. Look at the taxonomy of ways to resist. There's lots of ways to resist. Every way. Well, if we're not hitting the real core, we have to work to not participate. Don't watch porn. Great. Resist it. Attack it. Attack this culture that rapes and murders. Attack it. Am I advocating violence? Absolutely not. I'm advocating resistance. And you have to decide what form you want it to be in. We have to decide. It's scary. I'm scared. But that I can't let, you know, I'm scared of a lot of things. But fear, I think I'm more afraid of my children and their children not having clean drinking water. I think I'm afraid that there won't be any more rhinoceroses, you know. It's happening. I'm afraid that there won't be clean air, not for my children, but for the armadillo, for the raccoons, for the wolves that we've murdered. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that the world will get so disconnected that one of the most profound species to ever live on it will be totally cut off, or already is totally cut off from being able to connect with the living world, with a dimension that is part of their bones. And that we all live cut up in our monogamous worlds, our fragmented worlds of identities and identities and more identities. And now I'm Episcopalian, mafioso, resistor, pansexual, you know, blah, 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 blah. I'm just a human being. Not even a human. I'm just an organism on this planet who I can feel with my instincts. And just trying to survive as slaves. It's not easy. We all do our best. I know you do. Even if it's, oh, stop, you're making me feel bad. Well, you know, take responsibility. You know, see the lie. And then the only way to stop terrorism like we're doing right now is to kill all of the people who are part of ISIS or part of Al-Qaeda. How's that worked out? How many civilians have died for our quest to murder another group of people? Is it worth it? It is to the dominant culture because they get to build more bombs. The culling is coming. And we can stop it. We can. We see the weakness and the madness of their overreaction. They want to take away the guns so we can't resist any further. They use these as provocation. I don't agree with the conservatives. I don't agree with the NRA. But damn, they got this one right. Don't let them take away our guns. I'm not a libertarian. Remember my talks? I'm a collapsnik. I'm a collapsnik. I'm anti-civilization. I want us to decolonize and learn to live again with the world. They're like, yeah, that's a nice fantasy. Exactly. It is. It is. But we have to resist any way we can. Any way we can. I'm not a salvationist. I'm not a rapturist. I'm probably, what do they call it, a Jensenist. I'm an abolitionist. We should abolish industrial civilization and never allow it to be again. Thank you all, and I'll talk to you soon. Great weekend.